Good morning, Christ Church. Happy Palm Sunday. On this morning, we remember Christ coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And he was greeted by the crowds, crying, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." People were excited because they saw in Christ their promised king. They saw in him one that would come and give them victory, establish a new kingdom. And they were right. But the way that Jesus did that was not what they expected. He did bring them victory. He did bring them relief and joy. But before the victory came apparent defeat. Before joy came great sorrow. And this morning, as we worship in ways that are not comfortable for us and different for us, in the midst of circumstances that bring us fear and sorrow, let's remember that Christ is King. And that there is no sorrow, there is no defeat from which he cannot bring victory and joy and glory. Let's have that in the back of our minds and in our hearts as we attend to his word together this morning. We're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments. We're looking at the fifth commandment this morning. We'll read from Exodus 20, verse 12, and its restatement in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 16. Next week, we'll take a break for Easter, but let's continue this series together. If you are able, would you rise for the reading of God's Word at home? Attending together to God's Word, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we get to call you Father because you accept us as your children in Christ. Lord, hear our prayer that we would hear your word, that your spirit would move in us though we are separated, and that in considering your word we might be transformed, and in that transformation there might be testimony to the rest of the world of the hope and change that is available through the good news of Christ, our conquering King. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to start with just a bit of a confession that in focusing on our last commands, on the fourth commandment, and just adjusting to this new normal and thinking about Easter, that I just had it in my mind for some reason that the next command that we would be looking at this week was the command to not kill, do not murder. And I thought about, you know, how that command talked about the value of life and how that's important to reflect on in this COVID crisis and this pandemic. And of course, though, when I sat down at the beginning of this week to look at my notes and to remind myself where we were, of course, we're not on the sixth commandment, we're on the fifth. Honor your father and your mother. How does that strike you? Honor your father and mother, considering the previous four commandments, that we should worship no other god but God, that we should make no idols of God, that we should not treat his name lightly or in vain, and that we should honor the Sabbath, keeping it. And so we have these great and glorious commandments about God and how to worship him and live as his followers, and then honor your father and mother. Maybe that command seems a bit quaint or staid. Maybe not so significant as what comes before, the things we might be looking to discuss that come afterwards. But as I thought about preaching this commandment and began to reflect on it, what on the surface seems so straightforward is really profound and far-reaching. For really, think about the influence of parents upon children. All of us are children. This commandment, part of the Ten Commandments which shape God's covenant people, is not a command to parents as to what they are to teach or instruct or how to parent their children, though there are instructions and commands in the rest of Scripture, but this commandment is to children. Because all of us are children. All of us are born into families, and though the circumstances are different for all of us, we all experience some form of relationship with parents. Our first words are usually mama or dada or some form of that. And as sociologists and economists and Public health officials study the outcomes for kids in life, their educational achievement, their health, their sense of self. Again and again, it's their parents that are seen as the primary factor in their lives. Even in a society that doesn't take formal honoring or reverencing of people very seriously, yet when they want to insult someone, what do? They invoke the name of a parent, particularly a mother. When I come to a passage that I'm called to preach on, I want to teach it, and I want to explain it, but one of the things I want to do is consider the questions, the objections that people hearing God's word might have, those inside the family of Christ and those outside, so that those things can be taken into consideration. And as I thought about this command, all kinds of things come to mind. Well, what about those of us that don't have an ongoing relationship with our parents? What about those of us that had bad parents, abusive parents? And those of us who want to be parents and yet haven't experienced that in the way that we would want. Pretty quickly, we see how this commandment touches so much of our experience. And this is why really we wanted to have a Sunday school that goes along with the sermon series, so that we could probe into the implications of God's commands. And so I hope that if you have questions or comments about this commandment, you'll join us for Sunday school in the coming weeks to discuss. But I think you'll see that while the fifth commandment may not jump off the page as the most interesting or obviously compelling of commands, it is far-reaching with profound implications for us personally and for our communities. And I think as we explore its meaning and implications, we might see why God chose to place it here as the seeming hinge between the commandments oriented towards God and then the following commands which are oriented towards our neighbors and our community. Let's explore together what it means to honor our fathers and our mothers. And as we do so, I think that we will see that when we honor our fathers and mothers, we are to do so because God has given them to us. And when we honor them, we learn to honor others. And when we honor our mothers and our fathers, we enjoy God's covenant promises. We are to honor our fathers and mothers because God has given them to us. God has given us lots of things. What does this mean with regard to parents? Well, because God's providence is manifest in our parents, we are to see how honoring them honors Him. And also, as we learn the ways that we can honor our parents, we better understand how it is we might honor God. First, God gives us our parents. We don't appear on earth as blank slates, fending for ourselves. No, God places us with parents, with family, those who are charged with loving us, feeding us, protecting us, and sheltering us, instructing us that we might grow and mature into who God wants us to be. And though parents do not always fulfill these roles, this is their God-given intent. When we see them in these roles as parents, caring, providing, and instructing, it points past them to God. God who loves us, who provides for us, shelters, protects, and instructs us. Ephesians 3:14-15, Paul says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family," or more specifically in the Greek, every fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named. Parents are a reflection of God as Father. Though we often think of the Lord's Prayer or the New Testament explanation of the doctrine of adoption in Christ as the reason for which we call God Father, this is an Old Testament understanding as well. Deuteronomy 32:6 says, "Is not He your Father who created you, who made you and established you?" Or Psalm 103:13, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him." And though God is Father and identifies as such, and we are to speak to Him as Father, still, when we honor our mothers and consider them, we understand a bit more about who God is as well. Consider Isaiah 66:12-13. "Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nurse. You shall be carried upon her hip and balanced upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Just as marriage in Ephesians 5 is described as a picture of Christ's love for his bride, the church, so we see in our parents, our mother and our father, a picture of God's love, of God's provision, of God's protection for us. When we honor our parents, we are honoring God through them. But as we learn to honor them, we also learn how to better honor God. Which brings us to the definition of honor and what it means to fulfill this command. The command is not to obey, though it certainly includes that, and we're certainly called to obey our parents in other parts of Scripture. But here, in Exodus 20, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, the word is honor, kavod, glory. We are to treat our parents as weighty, as significant. Now, when we begin to unpack the implications of showing honor to our parents, those implications show us how we are to honor God. And therefore, in honoring our parents, we see how to better live out and obey the first four commandments. In looking at what it means to honor our fathers and our mothers, we see that really there's three kind of implications: that we show them respect and dignity, that we submit or obey them, and lastly, that we care for them. First of all, we respect. We show them that they are worthy of honor. We take them as important. We show them respect. That just might simply mean that we use our words to show them respect. We can honor our parents by saying yes, sir, no, sir. Using their tone of voice that reflects that what they say matters. Our obedience isn't just to be a servile obedience and doing it with a rolling of our eyes or a muttering under our breath, but how we do what our parents call us to do should reflect their dignity and honor. We're supposed to pay attention to their substance. In Isaiah 29, verse 13, it says this, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." God says he's not interested in just lip service. He wants hearts that are close to him as well. If we're to honor our parents, we must know them. We must see what is worthy of honor and dignity in them, both as those made in the image of God, but as there are parts of them that reflect who God is. So we are to honor them and show them dignity and respect. Also, we are to submit or obey. We are to reflect the reality that God has placed them in our lives as authorities. And as God has placed them in our lives, we put our desires, our intentions, and our wills under theirs. We listen to what we say. We obey. Now that can look different at different stages in our life, and the obedience and submission to parents can look different in various cultures. Yet the command still is true for us, whatever stage of life, that we should honor them. So while a child of 6 or 7 may obey their parents when they say, "I don't want you to play with so-and-so," they're called to obey that command. And we don't just jettison that when we grow older. Maybe a 25-year-old has made a choice on a career, or they're pursuing someone to get married. The fulfillment of this command may not be just an abject, "Yes, I will do whatever you say" to your parents, but certainly an adult who is honoring their parents will submit their desires and plans to their parents for their consideration, that they might hear the concerns of their parents in pursuing a various job. They might hear the concerns of their parents about why such a relationship might be difficult or damaging. We need to look at our wills, our reflections, our intentions, and our desires, and place them under our parents to submit and obey. Lastly, we are supposed to care for them. Starting out as little ones, our parents do most of the caring for us. But as we get older, we in turn are to care for our parents. One of the things that Jesus spoke so very strongly of towards the religious leaders was in Mark 7, he talked about this practice of korban, how people would make a pledge of their finances to the temple so that they didn't have to use those finances to care for their parents, and yet would break that pledge and hold on to that money. Jesus called them out as breakers of God's commands for not honoring their mothers and fathers and caring for them. In 1 Timothy 5, as it talks about widows and the church's care for widows, it says this, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing to God." Honoring our mothers and fathers is respecting them, listening to them, and obeying their voice, but also caring for them because we have reflected on how they care for us. Some people have been speaking about the coronavirus and this pandemic as a judgment. And certainly people are suffering, and certainly God is in control. It can be dangerous to assume exactly God's mind and to assume what form of judgment this might be take as God allows this to happen in the world and as it happens to even His own children, He disciplines. But certainly when there is a time of trial and suffering, certainly we should reflect on where there is sin in our lives, of how we might return away from things which lead us away from God to things which would draw us closer to God. And as we examine ourselves, we might look at how the virus has spread in nursing homes and retirement facilities, about how some people have spoken about the economic recovery in ways that seem to dishonor the importance of the elderly and their care. If we are treating the lives of our parents and our grandparents, of the elderly in our community and in our nation as less than, and we are not only dishonoring them, we are dishonoring God. And we should seek to be those who care if we can financially, or those who care for spiritually and relationally. Even if it's right for our parents to be in a nursing home or a retirement center, to not say, well, it's their responsibility, but we honor them by caring for them. As we honor our parents, we learn to honor God, to give Him the glory due His name, to listen to His word, and to respond with thanksgiving for what He has given us. Now let me first of all be a warning against those who would use the honor of God as a club to beat their kids with, to say, you better honor me because I'm God's representative, because you yourself have to show the same honor to God. It's the same thing. And so if you are not parenting your children in a way that honors God, that's no excuse. We can't allow our dishonoring of God to be manifest in how we call our kids to honor us. When we honor our parents, we honor God who gives them to us. But we also, in honoring our fathers and mothers, learn how to honor others. First of all, we want to note that we are told here to honor fathers and our mothers. That there is an explicit, in the text, separation of fathers and mothers. Though in the family and though in certain arenas of church life, men and fathers are given a distinct role, we should never allow that to be an excuse to dishonor or diminish mothers or women. In fact, when we learn to honor both fathers and our mothers, we push back against the historical societal tendency to devalue or dishonor women. And we begin to see how the Christian home should be an environment in which women are respected to, listened to, cared for, and how that is the starting place not only for honoring them, but for honoring others. The call to honor our father and mother is really just the beginning, not the end of the commandment. Commentators and confessions and doctrinal reflections on this command all agree that it's really shorthand for honoring all those in authority over us. Our actual parents, yes, but also grandparents, elders in our community, those who are put in governmental authority over us, princes and kings. In Leviticus 19:32, it says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear God. I am the Lord." Not only is honoring our actual parents related to honoring God, but our honoring of the elderly in our community. Exodus 22:28 says, "You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people." In Romans 13, we're told that we are to respect and pray and obey the emperor. Why? Because God has established him. Learning to honor our parents sets us up to honor those that God has set up over us. We learn to respect our teachers. We learn to respect our principals. In honoring our fathers and mothers, we learn a pattern for honoring our future bosses, our policemen, our president and government. But when we learn to honor our fathers and mothers, we don't just learn to honor those who are above us in position and rank. No, we also learn how to honor others. See, the language of submission, the language of honor and reverence, isn't just for those in authority in Scripture, those deemed over us by position or age or class, but that language is used for all people. Wives are called to submit to husbands, children to parents, slaves to masters, but in Ephesians 5, all of that is prefaced by a call to be filled with the Spirit, encouraging one another, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Philippians 2 says this, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others." Which is connected to what? Jesus' humiliation. Verse 8 of that same passage, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." When we look at Jesus, and we look at how to honor God in honoring our fathers and mothers and honoring those placed in authority over us, it establishes a pattern of showing dignity, of showing respect, of submitting that extends beyond those particular authorities, but out of reverence for God to those whom we are often considered less. Consider what Jesus says in John 12:49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." Jesus, who is eternal, the Son of God, who is equal in glory, honor, and power with God the Father, submits himself to the Father. But in comparison to us, he is a king. But what did the Son of Man come to do? Not to be served, but to serve. Jesus, who deserves all dignity, honor, and worship, who deserves to be honored, to be obeyed, cares for those who are less than. He, as a king, came not to be served, but to serve. Some of you may have read in the news how an aircraft carrier, the USS Roosevelt, has fallen prey to the coronavirus, and how servicemen and women on that ship were falling prey. And their commander, Captain Crozier, grew concerned for them. And he tried to address his concerns with the chain of command, and feeling as if he was not being heeded and his men and women were being placed at danger, he chose to present that information outside of the chain of command. And in so doing, he lost command of his ship. You don't become the commander of an aircraft carrier in the military unless you learn to honor your superiors, unless you learn to honor the chain of command, to obey and to submit. And yet, as one who learned to place himself under others to show dignity, he learned then to place himself under the needs, as he saw it, of the men and women under his command, to make a decision that would ruin his career for the health and safety of his people, as he saw it. Parents, we are not called to make our children successful. Children, our parents' job is not to help us fulfill our dreams, but to prepare us to serve God. And when we honor our parents, whatever our age and stage, when we honor those who are our spiritual parents, when we honor our teachers, when we honor other authorities in our lives and place ourselves under them, we are engaging in the self-formation of honoring God directly, but also in honoring Him by being what we are made to be, which is a blessing and a reflection of Him. When we honor others, we reflect Christ. And the result is our blessing. Last reason that Scripture points to as to why we are to honor our fathers and mothers is it allows for the enjoyment of God's covenant promises. In Ephesians 6:2, Paul refers to this command as the first command with a promise. And in the passage it says, "We are to honor our fathers and mothers that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." In Deuteronomy 5:16, it says that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. There is a high call here, a call to honor our fathers and mothers, to show them respect and dignity, to obey and submit to them, to reflect their care for us and our care for them. But it is not a knuckle under duty. It is not a just do it commandment. No, it is a call that has a benefit. It has a promise. We are to remember that this commandment comes in the context of covenant. God has drawn His people to Himself, delivering them out of captivity, and has made a promise to be their God and that they would be His people and that they would enjoy this land that He is bringing them to. And that's an expression of His fatherly care for them. Deuteronomy 4:20-21 says this, "But the Lord has taken you and has brought you out of the iron furnace out of Egypt, to be a people of His own inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you, and He swore that I should not cross the Jordan, and that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." Moses is reminding the people as they are prepared to go into Canaan that this land is a reflection of God's making them His people. They are His inheritance, and this land isn't a sharing in God's inheritance, a gift for His children. These commands come in the context of God's fatherly care of the blessings and promises He gives to them. And so the honoring of our father and mother is to be seen within the larger framework of enjoying the blessings, to see how to disobey any commandment, including and especially the dishonoring of our fathers and mothers, puts at risk the enjoyment of the covenant and our enjoyment of God's promises and blessings. Consider what Deuteronomy 6 says. It comes in verses 20 and 21 down to 25 after God's people are told to pay attention to the laws, to pay attention to God's commandments, to repeat them to their children. It says this, "When your son asks you in a time to come, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all of his household before our eyes. And He brought us out from there, that He might bring us in and give us the land that He swore to us. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as He has commanded us." The honoring of our parents, the honoring of the elderly, of our teachers, of our rulers. It preserves the enjoyment of the promises that God has given to the individual that heeds His commands, but also to the community that we are a part of. Individually, when we heed the commands of our parents and those who are above us, it is wisdom and preservation for us. Our parents tell us, don't touch that hot stove. They teach us not to run into the street. They teach us what's healthy. Our lawgivers consider what is important for the public well-being of the community. And if we don't heed those laws, those commands, those instructions from those who serve as our parents, it can be peril for us. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." When we honor those who have more experience, those who have more authority, those who have more responsibility, when we heed them, it serves to help preserve us. But not just individually, but for the community as well. For if we don't heed our parents, and if we learn that it's okay to dishonor our fathers and mothers, and by extension, those who have authority and rule over us, our bosses and our community leaders and our governors, then that threatens not only our enjoyment of what is good and pleasing, but their enjoyment as well. The disobedience of God's covenant people to this command opens up disobedience to other commands. And if God's people will not walk in obedience to the Lord, then the threat is that He will spit them out. Not only will individuals have seemingly shortened lives, but the community of God's people enjoying His promises will be spit out, and that's eventually what happened. When the people wouldn't listen to the promises and the reflections of God's goodness shared with them by their parents, when they turned to idols instead of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it resulted in them being spit out of the land. It gives us a bit of a framework for understanding how, to us, the shocking news that for Israel in that time in history, that it could be that the disobedience of parents, that the reviling of parents could result in the death penalty. Leviticus 20 lists dishonoring and reviling parents among sorcery and idolatry as things that could be responded to with the death penalty. And Deuteronomy 21, though, gives us a little bit more understanding of this, because it explains how this happens. The parents are supposed to not inflict the punishment themselves, but they are to bring the child, the rebellious, the drunkard child, who will not listen to the instruction and admonition of their parents, to the elders of the community, who would then render a judgment, who would then allow for the execution of the punishment. Notice that this is actually different from Romans. In the Roman Empire, the power of life and death for a child remained solely in the hands of the father. A father could kill his child if he deemed it so necessary. This is not about what the parents personally want. It's about what is good for the community. And while we may not respond to dishonoring, disobedient children, whether adults or little kids, with this extreme of punishment, we should take seriously the implications it has for the community. What starts in the home impacts the community. Learning to honor parents allows us to learn to honor elders, commands, promises, princes, kings, presidents, health officials. Kids, right now, you are probably tired of being stuck at home. You are probably tired of not seeing your friends, about not going out and about the way that you want to. And right now, you might be tempted to be impatient with your parents. You might be tempted to scowl or to roll your eyes or to be short. But the thing is, it's not just about you and what your parents are saying. If you dishonor your parents, you make it uncomfortable, not just for yourself, but everyone else in the household. You should show them dishonor as a bad example to siblings. You dishonoring your parents opens up the door to dishonoring other authorities, and it makes that household uncomfortable. Dishonoring our parents isn't just about what they say and what we want. It shapes a whole community. God blesses us with parents, biologically or otherwise, so that we, in honoring them, can learn to honor others. And if we do so, we can enjoy the blessings of covenant community, the enjoyment of His promises. But how could we claim His promises and His blessings if we would dishonor those who tell us about those promises, those who share them with us, who read us Scripture, who teach us what God commands, who are the ones that set us up, hopefully, to hear God's promises and the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection? Earlier this week in Memphis, Tennessee, Reverend Timothy Russell, a pastor at Second Presbyterian Church, EPC in Memphis, passed away from complications of the COVID virus. And on the street where he lived, the choir of Second Presbyterian Church gathered, observing 6 feet or more distance outside. And they sang, "It is well with my soul," to the widow of Tim Russell. They saw in Reverend Russell a man who had instructed them, taught them God's word, who had protected them and counseled them, who had launched other ministry careers. They saw in Reverend Russell a man worthy of honor. And they didn't just honor him in their hearts and in their memories, but they took to the streets to honor him and to honor his wife, who was certainly part of his ministry and his impact on the lives of others. And in showing that honor to that deceased parent and to the remaining parent, they show to the rest of the world what it looks like to honor those who impact us. And in so doing, we're a testimony to those who needed to hear. There is a God who offers us protection, who offers us instruction, who offers us love. All of us, brothers and sisters, can honor God, can honor those around us, and enjoy God's covenant blessings and promises when we learn how to honor our fathers and mothers and be those who would in turn be honored by others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You alone are due all honor, dignity, and glory. Thank You that You give us parents. Fallible though they are, sinful though they are, still You allow them to be pictures of Your parental care for us. And in learning how to honor them, we learn how to honor You, and we learn how to submit and obey and respect and serve others, that we might be the people You mean us to be, that we might enjoy our relationship with You bought by the blood of Christ. Lord, help us to honor those You put in our lives, the men and women who instruct, who teach, who rule us. For Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.